Thank you, Lewis. Doris and I are looking forward very much to getting better acquainted with Lewis and Kay, now that we're on the same team together here in the NAVS. I'm sure you know what we're doing in these morning sessions, going over the wheel illustration. And you'd never know that I taught engineering drawing in college, would you? The Navigator Wheel Illustration, which is an illustration of us living the Christian life. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. Christ is the hub, and there are four spokes that transmit the power of Christ to us, represented by the rim, living the Christian life. And those spokes are the Word of God, the foundational spoke, which we heard about Monday, prayer, we heard about yesterday. And now we're going to get into what we call the horizontal strokes. The vertical strokes have to do with our relationship with Christ. And the horizontal spokes have to do with our relationship with other people. Fellowship, our relationship with Christians, and witnessing, our relationship with non-Christians. The rim, which is us, is the part of the wheel that's in contact with the world. And as we go through life, the rim is the part that bumps over the rocks and sloshes through the mud, and that's us living our lives for Christ in the world. And we can't take any one part of the wheel and isolate it from the rest. We're going to talk about Christian fellowship today. And we can't isolate Christian fellowship from the other spokes. If we're not learning more about the Bible, if we're not into the Word of God and studying, if we don't have a vital relationship with Christ in prayer, then our Christian fellowship is gonna be weak, and our witness is gonna be weak. If all our fellowship is with Christians and no outreach to non-Christians, there'll be something lacking in our fellowship. So as we talk about fellowship this morning, we have to keep it in context of the whole picture of the Christian life. Probably the fellowship spoke is the spoke that most people feel is strongest in their life. Oftentimes we ask people to raise their hand who thinks the word spoke is strongest in their life, who thinks the prayer spoke, and usually most people feel that fellowship is the strongest spoke. It's the most pleasant spoke, isn't it, to involve ourselves in. Probably the easiest, and it's very important. It's very vital. Sometimes we think Christian fellowship is just pleasure, but it's a vital, essential part of the Christian life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." So right from the very first days of the church, Christian fellowship was a vital part. It's one of the first concerns, if not the first concern, for a new Christian. When someone makes that initial step and commits his life to Jesus Christ, the most important thing is to get him into a warm fellowship of other Christians so that he can be nurtured and encouraged and protected. The fellowship that we're going to talk about this morning is a special kind of fellowship. Those of you that are taking the 2-7 course, using the Navigator 2-7 course, have probably come across in one of the lessons the question, Christians are together, they're watching a football game, eating popcorn and having some soft drinks, and they're having a great time, and are they enjoying Christian fellowship or not? Well, I think they are. I think any time that we're together with brothers and sisters in Christ and we're enjoying ourselves, we're enjoying Christian fellowship. Because we're the way we are because of what God has done in our lives. And that's why we enjoy being around one another. But this special kind of fellowship is centered around Jesus Christ and His Word. And the purpose of it is edification. Our own edification by others' lives, and others' edification by our life. And the only way that our life is going to edify someone else is if God's Word is being lived out in our life. And the only way you are edified by someone else's life is by God's Word being applied and lived out in their life. And you see it in action. And that's what's edifying about Christian fellowship. We see someone who manifests some of the characteristics of Christ. And that challenges us and encourages us. So the purpose of Christian fellowship is mutual edification. And it's centered around God's Word and Jesus Christ shared and lived out in our lives. This fellowship has some certain characteristics. The first one is that it involves teaching and sharing and discussing God's Word. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Or Romans 15:14, where Paul says, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." Or Acts chapter 5, verse 42. "And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Or the example of the disciples in John chapter 16. John 16, verses 17 and 18. "Some of the disciples said to one another, 'What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father,' they said, 'What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he means.'" The disciples were discussing among themselves the meaning of Christ's words, some of the teaching that Christ had shared with them. And so Christian fellowship involves discussing the Bible. What does it mean? You know, what do you think this passage means? Let me share this thought that I got from the Word today. Teaching one another, helping one another to understand and grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures. And I wonder how much of our Christian fellowship is involved in sharing the Word together, sharing blessings, discussing the Word, and teaching and encouraging one another from the Scriptures. I think that this is a weakness in most of our Christian fellowship. We enjoy being together, but we miss the full blessing of how we could edify one another because we don't share the Word of God with each other. The second characteristic of Christian fellowship is that we should encourage and exhort and comfort one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." How much are we stirring one another up to love and good works in our Christian fellowship? Encouraging, exhorting.
1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, Paul says. When someone is bereaved or discouraged or troubled, can you comfort them with a word of Scripture? Or 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. When someone's down, can you share a verse of Scripture that would encourage them? And then there's exhortation, which is helping a brother or sister get back on the track or do better than they're doing. Exhortation. I like Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of us may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We often talk about the sin we observe in other Christians' lives. We talk about it to other Christians. But how often do we talk to that Christian about the sin in their life and exhort them to the higher life? James 5, 19 and 20. My brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Are we helping others who are wandering from the truth of God's word? And then who do you know that really cares for your spiritual life? If you begin to wander into sin, if you begin to get a little off track, or begin to manifest some characteristics in your life that weren't really honoring to Christ, do you know any Christian that would be faithful enough to you to confront you with it and exhort you? That's a real privilege to have someone like that. And we should be that kind of a Christian, and we should welcome friends who are willing to share things like that with us. We need to be humble. We need to be open. Oftentimes, those exhortations don't come from someone that we consider a spiritually qualified person. You know, if Jim White were to come and exhort us, we'd probably take it. But if our kids point out something that's not right in our life, sometimes we're not too open about that. And we need to be open to receive exhortation and help and correction from whatever source God chooses to send it. The third thing about Christian fellowship is that it should involve prayer. We should be spending time in prayer together. In Acts chapter 1, the church began right away with prayer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, all these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer. And of course, Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. There is power in united prayer. And Christian fellowship ought to include times of prayer together. We ought to be praying about things rather than just talking about them or gossiping about them. And there's nothing that deepens a relationship like prayer together. If a couple comes over to your house for some fellowship, for dinner or whatever, nothing would deepen the relationship more than to have some prayer together sometime that evening. And the same thing in our relationship with people. The relationships that are really deep probably include times of prayer together with our Christian brother or sister. And if you want to deepen your relationship with your wife, make a practice of spending time in prayer together. The fourth characteristic of Christian fellowship should be serving one another. Serving is love in practice, and it's really the primary activity that we Christians ought to be involved in. We're in a race in the Christian life. Paul talks about the Christian life being a race, and the area of competition that we're racing in is to see who can be the best servant. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. Or Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Or James, well, let's look at Mark 9:33 through 35. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they were discussing with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. There are a lot of ways that we can serve one another. In James 2, verses 15 and 16, it talks about serving one another physically. If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So we can physically help brothers and sisters in Christ who have a physical need. Might be clothing or food, but more often it's help. Like when we arrived in town 2 weeks ago with our Ryder truck full of furniture, we needed help unloading the truck. So I began to call some of my Christian friends. And we had quite a crew show up to help unload the truck. That was real Christian love. And some of them took time that they really didn't have to help us unload our truck. In Acts 2, 44 and 45, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. This is not Christians supporting full-time Christian workers. This is Christian lay people helping one another. And God blessed it. In Acts chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to each as any had need. As a young Christian, I had the privilege of experiencing this kind of fellowship. When I got out of the Air Force, as an Air Force officer, a single fella, I actually had two cars. You know, how crazy for a single guy to have two cars. And a whole trailer load of furniture and possessions, and I had been invited to move in a Navigator home in Omaha, Nebraska. Well, I sold one of the cars because I couldn't drive them both out to Omaha from Pittsburgh where I was stationed. So I arrived with quite a bit of money in my pocket and a fairly new car and possessions. And one of the agreements that we agreed to move into this particular Navigator home at that time, which was in 1956, was that we would put these verses in Acts into practice, and we would all share our goods, and anyone who had any money would put it all in the pot, and all the goods would be considered communal goods, and a person would contribute as he could and share as he had need. Real communism in practice under Christ. And it was a real blessing for me to dump my money into the pot. And probably the hardest thing for me was to let other people just drive my car whenever they felt like they needed my car instead of something else. Because being a mechanical engineer, I'm fussy about my cars. And but that experience, now I got a job teaching at the University of Omaha, so I was making fairly good money. Another guy was working as an engineer. He had a good salary, but there was one guy that just had a laboring job. He was hardly putting in anything, and one guy was a student. He wasn't putting in anything at all except his GI Bill check. And so we had quite a variety of incomes, but we were putting it all in the pot. And what we found out was that everyone was reluctant to spend. If a guy was, if his clothes were getting shabby, we would actually have to get together and encourage him to go buy some clothes. So everyone was looking out for the other and didn't want to take any more than what was very careful not to take more than their what their needs required. And it was a great blessing. And I am very thankful for the privilege of having had that experience for a couple of years. The navigators don't do that anymore because we find that when we ask a young person to make that kind of a commitment to a situation, we also obligate ourselves to them. And at that stage in a young person's training, we're not ready to have that kind of a relationship. So it was a great blessing for us at that time, but we don't do that anymore. Another way we can serve one another is by hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. And that's a way that we can serve one another. But then verse 10, 1 Peter 4, 10. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Every one of us has received gifts and abilities from God. Some are cooks, some sew, some have mechanical abilities to fix things. Some are counselors and encouragers. It's all different kinds of gifts in the body of Christ. And those gifts were given so that we can serve and build up one another in the body of Christ. So we need to be thinking about what our gifts are and how we're using those gifts to serve and build up others in the body of Christ. Okay, those are some characteristics of Christian fellowship. And in addition to characteristics, there's kind of a context or a flavor that Christian fellowship should take place in. The first has to do with reconciled relationships. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." There needs to be a relationship of forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, there's two ways that problems can start between Christians. One is that someone can do something that offends you. The scriptures talk about this in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, a Christian brother or sister has done something that you feel is not right, and you've been offended. You've observed that, and it really bothers you. Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. We need to take the initiative to go and try and make right those situations that are wrong when someone else is in error or sin, or commanded to do that by Christ. The other way that fellowship can be broken between two Christians, between another Christian and myself, is for me to be in sin and offending him. In Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24 talk about that. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, have you ever been having your quiet time and God begins to convict you about something you said or did that was not right that offended another Christian brother or sister? Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So if we become conscious that we have said some harsh words or unkind words or wrong words or done something that's offended someone else, and God brings that to our awareness, our responsibility is to go to the person we offended and confess that sin and ask for their forgiveness. So it doesn't make any difference whether someone else has offended us or we have offended them. It's our responsibility when we become conscious of the situation to take the initiative to go and cause reconciliation to take place in the relationship. We need to have an attitude of forgiveness towards others, and we need to go and ask their forgiveness when we have been the one that's sinned. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, confession and prayer together causes great healing in relationships. When I was in the Air Force, a new officer was assigned to my unit, and there was something about him that just irritated me. I didn't like him. Really bothered me. And the more I was around him, the more I disliked him. It wasn't anything specific. It was just something about his manner and the way he talked, and I just didn't enjoy being around him, didn't appreciate him. And someone pointed out to me that I ought to pray about those things which irritated me in his life and pray for this fellow officer rather than just being upset about him. So I began to pray in my quiet time for this man. And within a few months, he was my best friend in the Air Force. And I think there's a basic principle that if someone is irritating you, and if there's something about their manner or the way they are, if you can't put your finger on any specific sin or something that you need to go to talk to them about, just pray for them. And usually, God will take that anger and bitterness away and give you a feeling of love and caring for them. So prayer reconciles relationships. Another general flavor that ought to be present in Christian fellowship is an attitude of humility. Last night we heard about the marriage that was going well because each one was applying Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Looking upon the things of others and being concerned about the things of others and considering others before yourself. We need to take the lower place in situations. I don't remember the reference, but you know the story of the being invited to the feast, and you go in and it says, don't take a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you comes and you be asked to go and take a lower place. But when you go to a feast, find the lowest place, go sit there. And then maybe the host will come and say, come and take a higher place, and you'll be honored rather than humiliated. So an attitude of humility, genuinely trying to understand the other person's viewpoint and looking upon their things as carefully or more carefully than you do your own. And then an attitude of friendliness and cheerfulness. If you're wondering why you don't have many friends, if that's your situation, it may be that you're not friendly. I've been trying to find the reference for the verse. I think it's in Proverbs where it says, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. Who knows the reference to that passage? Anybody? No, we checked that one out. That's not it. If anybody thinks of it, let me know afterwards. I tried to find it this morning and I couldn't, and asked all my navigator friends and they couldn't help me out either. 1824? No, I don't think that's it. We looked that one up too. Is that it? Okay. We were just not in the right translation, maybe. Proverbs 18:24. A man who hath friends must show himself friendly. What are you doing to show friendliness to other people so that they would want to be your friend? And then Philippians 2:14, which says, do all things without grumbling. Some of us are grumblers. You know, we're complaining about the rain and we're grumbling about this and prices. And people don't like to be around grumblers. You know, life is tough enough without other people adding to the negative things in life. So we need to be friendly and cheerful if we're going to have friends and be a positive contribution to the Christian fellowship. And then, of course, in all these characteristics, and the most important thing is that an attitude of love should permeate our lives and fellowship. Colossians 3:14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we're not going to another Christian to share something that we've observed in their life because we love them, it probably isn't going to minister very much. And if we're not serving them because we love them and because we love Christ and want to do that, it probably won't accomplish much. When I was phoning around 2 weeks ago to see if I could get some people to help me unload my truck, there was a couple friends that I called who their response was, I could come and help. I didn't sense that they really wanted to do it. You know, they felt there was a duty there and that I was bothering them. And I just didn't get the sense that they really cared that much. They felt that I'd caught them, and they didn't know of any good reason why they shouldn't do it. And so they would come and do it, but there wasn't a joy and enthusiasm there. And there were a couple that way, so I didn't call them back and give them the time and everything. And the Lord provided plenty of enthusiastic helpers. But a spirit of love, of course, love is the key quality in our lives that demonstrates that we're disciples. John 13:34-35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:34-35. So the most basic characteristic of Christian fellowship, the motivation for serving one another, and the reason why we would want to encourage and exhort, and the reason why we'd want to teach and discuss, is because we have love for the other person and we want to help and share the blessings that God has shared with us with them. And just a little illustration here. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. There's two verses here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 7, the same chapter. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Up here is Jesus. Here's you. And here's me. The closer you and I are walking to Jesus, the closer we're going to be together. If we're walking with Jesus up here, we're going to be closer to each other. And that's a basic principle, and that's why all the spokes of the wheel are necessary. If I'm out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, the chances are I'm not going to want to fellowship with you if you're a Christian who's really living the Christian life. So the closer we are to Jesus, the closer our Christian fellowship is going to be. This kind of fellowship is a great privilege, great blessing. It's one of God's blessings to us as Christians to be part of a family of God who care for one another and help one another so that wherever we go in the world, we can feel at home in the home of another Christian, more so than we do our own relatives usually. It's costly. It requires that we give of ourselves. We have to get involved, but it's well worth the effort. So I trust that these brief thoughts that we've considered this morning will stimulate you to think about your own involvement in Christian fellowship and whether it could be deepened by more conscious effort to share the word, to pray together, to encourage and comfort and exhort one another, and to serve one another. Are you thinking about how you can serve those that are involved in your Christian fellowship with you? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great blessing of Christian fellowship. To be part of your family here on earth, to have thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that it's your plan that we become involved intimately in a small part of your body, a local fellowship. Maybe even a small Bible study group or discussion group or Sunday school class out of a local congregation that we might really give ourselves and get to know and help and pray for and love a few brothers and sisters in Christ intimately. Thank you for those relationships that you've allowed us to have like this. Help us to be faithful to our brothers and sisters, and help them to be faithful to us in the Christian life. Make our discussion profitable as we get together and discuss this subject, and speak to each one of us concerning some one aspect of Christian fellowship that we might make more vital and meaningful by applying a little more effort in on our part. Thank you for this time together. In the name of Christ, amen.